Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fortress Comic News, episode 232. I am your only host, Chris, and much like the Intramural episodes that hopefully you guys are listening to and enjoying, it's just me, and I have an interview this week, so we're not going to get too much into stuff. But this week, we do have a returning guest, one of my favorite guests. I do pick favorites, everybody. Travis Gibb. Travis is here to talk about his book, Exile. And, yeah, that's what we talk about. Talk about that. We talk about con life in this 2021 world. We talk about books we're enjoying. We make fun of our governors. We have a good time. It was just good to sit down and chat and catch up with Travis. So I hope you all enjoyed that. Before I go, real quick, remember you can find me at Fortress Chris on Twitter, at Fortress Comics on Twitter as well for the show, and FortressComicNews.com, and as always, Patreon.com/FortressComics to get Bat Friends 3 days early, and you can sometimes get this show early too. Maybe a day, maybe a couple days. Maybe you get the middle of the week episode that I do once in a while early. I don't know. But go there, check us out, support, and we always appreciate it. But enough of that, everybody. Welcome back, Travis Gibb. All right, everybody. I've got for you a very special guest, a returning very special guest. Everybody, welcome back, Travis Gibb. What's up, Travis?
Yo, how are you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Good, and I should be known as the only guest who reads comics. That's what I say. No, I'm sure other people read comics, but not as many as me.
If my schedule keeps up, you'll be the only person that reads comics on this show. Right? I literally picked up my books today.
Uh-huh.
And so first, I've been paring back my comics list because of reasons that don't need to be mentioned.
Sure.
But I've also been going a little bit more digital because I move a lot, and moving long boxes is hard.
Right, sure.
But I bought half my books on Wednesday digitally, and then I bought my physical stuff today. And I've only read Star Wars stuff all week because I've been catching up on 3 weeks' worth of Star Wars comics.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I had the same problem last week. I was going through my comics, and I read a couple, and then I picked up my stack, and it was like Saturday night, and I was like, Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil's here. And I haven't read it yet. What the hell is going on here? Like, my world is way too busy if I have not got to Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil, literally probably my favorite book right now, on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. I picked up the book I was most looking forward to this week was Primordial.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I didn't pick it up, and I need to buy it because everyone's talking about it. I didn't like Planet of the Apes, so I was like, I'm not going to get it. And I'm like, clearly I was wrong.
Yeah, see, I love Planet of the Apes. I love that creative team. Jeff Lemire is like one of my favorites.
I mean, Jeff Lemire is fantastic, right?
And Sorrentino, like when they did their Green Arrow run, that fucking blew me away.
Yeah.
And so everything they've done since, I've been all about. But I haven't even read that yet. As everyone's listening to this, I will hopefully have read it. But
right. This may change when you hear the reviews on comics part.
Yeah.
You know Reviews by Wayne? I think Wayne, he does a lot of, he's a podcaster, he's done comics forever, he's done like 500 Wayne comics podcasts.
Uh-huh.
He compared me the other day to Jeff Lemire, and I don't think he understood how complimentary that was, like how deeply touched I was. I was like holding back tears going, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Did you pick up his Maze book?
I did, yeah.
That was, I mean, you have kids, right?
Yeah.
So I have stepkids, but still, same difference.
Yeah.
As a father, tore my soul out. I thought as a whole, the book will read better as a trade. I can tell on issue one, but still, like when they reveal that part where his kid died at like 11, I was just like, Oh God, can't do this to me, Jeff.
Yeah, one of the things we were talking about and how he compared it, my books to his books, is I do a lot of family stuff, and not always traditional family, but they're always family relationships. So even Denver and Randy from Broke Down, they have a dysfunctional brother relationship, right? They hate each other, they're fighting. But if other people come in their turf, they're going to back up. Voodoo Nations is literally about a married couple, you know, and dealing with their stuff. And then Expired, you know, the book we're going to talk about today, it's literally about an old platoon of old army fighters who lost a war and kind of like still hanging out. It's kind of like the Crew from Serenity type of thing, you know, the old war generals just still kind of hanging out. They're not sure if they're on the right side, but they're just living, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So you brought up Expired. I guess we should talk a little bit about it.
I made it weird, yeah. We're having a nice time, and then I brought up the latest Kickstarter. We were just trying. It was so nice. Everyone was cordial, and then you brought up the elephant in the room, right?
Well, first, you just shipped out this Voodoo Nations number 2.
Right.
Yeah, and then you jumped right into a new one. So let's hear about the new one.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I do. Like, I'm so close to, like, kind of doing this professional. That's kind of the thing. Every 3 months, you're probably going to see a new project from me. It's kind of where I'm at. I've got so many things in the pipeline doing stuff, you know. But Expired is my newest one. It's live on Kickstarter. It's really, really cool. What Expired is, it's a world that's like Hawaii. So imagine the rest of the world is gone and just Hawaii. So just like the 7 or 8 islands of Hawaii. I don't know how many islands are on Hawaii. But in this world, that's all that exists. And on those islands are various civilizations, various power structures. And because there's a lack of oxygen, because of the lack of vegetation, they have to wear armbands or bracelets that control their oxygen. And you're only allowed so many breaths. And that breath is dictated to you based on the ruling class. So you're kind of in this weird kind of struggle of trying to figure out who you are, knowing that every breath could be your last or counting down to death. So that's kind of the universe and the setup. But within that is kind of a sci-fi setting, kind of a Star Wars-ish, kind of Pirates of the Caribbean, because we use a lot of boats and water, you know, because it's a huge civilization up there. Kind of a mix between those. Lots of fantasy. There's fantasy creatures inside this world. So kind of a mix of all those things.
So you're saying like people can take breaths based on these wristbands. Are you dealing with like a lot of class struggle issues in this?
So no, I'm not dealing with that. What's interesting is I wrote this about a year ago. So it was before Black Lives Matter, before, you know, the COVID, you know, mass stuff. But then I went in and added some of that stuff in there to give it a deeper feel. Cause now, you know, breath means so much more to me when I wrote that. That was just kind of a cool, like, thing to make this world unique, you know, cause there's only 7 islands that I thought about it and what it would look like. So I've added a little bit of that stuff, but it's not political at all. I may make some commentary on that, but I'm not going to deep dive into it to make it a political book. That just tends to be the stuff. But the main premise is one of the characters, he was targeted for execution, and he happened to be lucky that he was a dual citizen. So dual citizen gives him basically 2 lives. He's got a little bit of life from here and a little bit from there. So he had a little bit of life left. So he's got 12 days left. And he's trying to, you know, cheat death, basically. He's trying to go to places where he can extend that oxygen level a little bit.
And so you mentioned family and everything, all that. You said this is a group of ex-Marines or ex...
basically ex-military. They fought in the war and they lost, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to deal with some of that, too. Like the brotherhood of people coming together over some sort of combined cause or something, I'm assuming.
Yeah. The combined cause is this guy's, you know, last 12 hours, you know, he's got it and trying to live that. They want to extend his life. You know, they want him around as long as possible and what that looks like in that world and how he stuff. He's kind of like a grifter character, you know, to use a DC character. You know, he's kind of like Grifter. He's a mercenary. You don't always know his objectives. You know, I consider him a cross between Gambit and Sam Elliott. You know, that's the main character.
We're going to get a lot of Cajun talk is what you're telling me.
Right. No, Gambit, more of a con man. His name's Christoph, you know. And then he's got a counterpart, which is named Braticus, who's kind of like a Killmonger, you know, from Black Panther, you know, kind of a rousty guy, you know, head on his shoulders. He's a sniper. I was going to say sharpshooter, but a sniper.
So I don't know if I ever told you this, but growing up, I mean, I've said this before, but my big influences were Batman Animated Series, X-Men Animated Series. I'm of that age. While everyone else in the world and in my age group was like, Wolverine, man, the claws is awesome, blah, blah, blah. I was a big Gambit guy.
Right.
Well, I thought Gambit was the coolest.
Well, and you know the name of my son, right?
No.
I have a 2-year-old son named Remy. So
oh, there you go.
If that doesn't tell you, I'm a Magneto guy. I'm wearing a Magneto shirt. This is part radio, so you guys can't see that. But Magneto is my main dude. Like, because I gut when I watch those X-Men animated series, like I gut Magneto. Like that made sense to me. A guy who's just trying to do right, and every time he does it right, everyone around him is telling him it's wrong. But from his point of view, it's like that was me in high school. Like, I'm just trying to like do the right thing here, and it just doesn't align with your right.
Well, it aligns to an old Captain America quote that I always go to, which is what's right isn't always popular, and what's popular is not always right. And I'm sure that's accredited to someone much more important than Captain America, but I'm going to give it to Steve on this one.
No, it was definitely Steve Rogers, right? So, you can't say Captain America and Magneto, because then I just keep thinking about that the time that it was Acts of Vengeance and Magneto buried Red Skull alive. Oh, it was so good. So good. I just want to read it right now. Like, it's so good.
So, I mean, the book expired. Who are you working with on this one? Is it people you worked with in the past, or you got a whole new team going
forward? So, I've brought my colorist over, and I brought my my letterist over. I'm
working. He's a hack. He shouldn't use them anymore.
Right. Right. Yeah. He's just, I mean, seriously, he needs to stop living under my wings, you know, like expand, like go do something, you know, I mean, seriously, his biggest claim to fame that he's great known for is his work at Action Labs, and everyone knows how they feel about Action Labs. So that's not going to work out so well. Anyways.
So real quick on that. Yeah. I don't know how many people you know that worked for Action Labs.
A lot.
But when this broke down, I reached out to a bunch, and we have some similar people in common. Right, I reached out to some of them. I couldn't get a single negative word.
What?
And I know that wasn't indicative to what they were doing, especially in the past year or so.
Right.
But I really couldn't get anybody who was like, yeah, everybody was telling me that's not my experience. I'm not saying those things didn't happen. I'm not saying that they were set up or anything. I'm just saying that's what I got from the people I knew.
Well, I will just say, I'm not going to say, but one of the prominent Action Lab writers and I talked for an hour and a half about how unhappy he was with the deal that he was stuck in, and he was very successful over there. Wow. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But similar to that, we're in a world here at Expire. I was trying. No. Expire. They're written now. Much like Action Lab creators, they're running out of time to get their properties back from Action.
There we go. I'm turning Travis into a pro.
I'm working with a new artist on this, and he is phenomenal. His name is Daniel Kursky. He's out of Russia. Beautiful, beautiful art. You can see 7 pages of it on the Kickstarter. Very, very cool, especially if you love the Star Wars type stuff, because it feels very much like a Star Wars or Dune like story.
I do like Dune.
Yeah. Who doesn't? And that Dune movie looks so good.
I can't wait. Dune was, I've told in the past, or like one of the things me and my father really like grew close over when I was young was football.
Right.
Another thing that he passed down to me that none of my other siblings got was a love for Dune. He gave me those books and I fell in love with them. And I remember like, I watched the old movie. The old movie's good. It's a classic. I love it. But yeah, Seeing what they're doing with this one, I'm just like, Don't break my heart. Don't do it. I want it to be great.
Right. Yeah. And it looks good. And they have the who's who's of the young Gen X actors.
Yeah, they're getting. It's funny because you know you got Momoa, you got Brolin, and then you got all these people. Like, so all the older characters are people that we know. We got, he doesn't have a real name. His name is Poe Dameron. We have Poe Dameron over here. We got Aquaman. We got Thanos. We got all these great people. And then you got these younger actors who, I'm not a movie guy, so I look at them like, I don't know who these people are. But when you look them up, you're like, holy shit, they've done some stuff.
Right.
So this could be, if it keeps moving forward, if it's good enough and it moves forward, it could be like the Harry Potter of our time right now. Like, it could be this movie that goes on ever and ever with these great actors and actresses. So,
well, and we need a Harry Potter. I think that's one of the things that's really struggling. We had Game of Thrones for a real long time, and that kind of got us all united. Hey, we all like this one show. And now the only thing that people like is Ted Lasso, and half the world hasn't seen it and they just pretend.
I really am struggling with getting Apple TV. I just saw that Jon Stewart has a show on there now. Yeah,
like, man, I have someone's login and I just got it, and I've been blowing through that content. I was like, man, I don't want another streaming service, but there's some good content on there.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where I'm like, why'd I give up cable? Because I'm spending the same amount at this point.
Right, that's how they got you.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so Ted Lasso, I don't know how you get that back to expired, but go ahead.
Ted Lasso, he has a lot of joy, and he's a very positive guy, and he's kind of a fish out of water story. And much like that, expired is all about water because, again, 98% of the planet is filled with water.
So would you say that your biggest inspiration for this comic was the hit movie Waterworld?
I wish. Believe it or not, this is actually an interesting comic because somebody else came up with the main story. His name is Brent Hegemeyer. Himinger. Sorry, not Hegemeyer. I don't know why I said that. Himinger. He came up with the idea. He presented it to me. I wrote the script for it. And then as we progressed, this guy's never done comics before. He really wanted me to just kind of do the whole thing. So I hired everybody, I put it under my label, and, you know, I kind of took it over. But it's his original story. So he came up with the concept of the islands and who are on these islands and some of the other meta plot that's involved. I came up with the characters. I came up with the oxygen thing and some of the other developments of building the world. And we've kind of collaborated on this really cool project, which is neat.
So I see you're doing, with the pledges, a lot of the stuff that we've come to expect from your awesome Kickstarters. Are you doing the metal covers again?
So I do have a metal cover. Yeah, there is one metal cover as an add-on. So there's a metal cover for the Ryan Brown. You know, if you know Ryan Brown from Motor Hobo or from, he does a lot of Electric Black covers. He does a lot of TMNT.
Yes.
Yeah, so we do have a metal cover, but it's in the add-ons for him. But one of the things that I'm doing different in this, I'm doing two things that are different. So one of them is I have a cover that has a spoiler on it. So there's a you don't see the whole cover. I get rid of some of the parts, which is kind of cool. So when you get the book, that's where you're going to see the full cover. We also have what's called a secret variant. So it's similar to Marvel and DC variants. So it's a cover with a one addition. So the main cover A, we add an additional character to that cover. That's in the book. To get that, all you need to do is share the book out, and I'm going to print out 10% of the run to the people who share it out in comment. And because no one ever shares it out in comments, that's the only way you're going to guarantee to get one. If you share in comment, you're going to get that. You're going to more than likely get that cover.
Share and comment, like on social media, you're saying?
Yeah, so you share and then you comment on the Kickstarter, either on an update or in the comments section, and let them know, hey, I sent out a share.
Okay. So I think it's important that everybody knows that I have reached the pinnacle of Kickstarter funding on this. I was your 69th backer.
You were my 69th backer, and that was a proud day. That was a proud day. And I think it was wasn't it really close to funding too, like $5 short after you?
I think, yeah, we were somewhere in that range. I remember you were pushing.
Yeah. I think it was funded right after you, but you were like five under from it being funded, and then it funded like right after you. But yes, you were 69. Congratulations.
Yeah. So everybody, you know, send me my congratulations. Our Patreon is open. I'm, you know, willing to take bribes. let's see. You already funded.
We did.
So let's talk stretch goals. What are you doing?
So I've done a couple so far. So we unlocked the sticker. We've already done that. we unlock the magnet. So one of the things I do is I like to do magnets. So this is a cover magnet of the Ryan Brown cover. And then we just announced the Dusk mini print. So it's a black and white, kind of a Gleason style thing. So it's a white on black. Very, very cool character design print. And that's going to be at 3,600. So we're going to do that. So lots of really cool things to unlock.
Yeah, I think my fridge at this point is covered in your magnets.
Oh, well, that's nice. I like that. I want your wife to know that I'm in your heart and I'm in your soul and in your living room every day. Well, kitchen.
She's aware. She's like number three or four on the list. It goes Travis, then my cat.
Right.
And then depending on the day, it's Mike and her.
Right.
So I got to ask you this. This is even, you screw the interview. I don't even care about that. If we keep doing Voodoo Nations, you're going to do four issues, correct?
Correct.
Am I going to have a full set of coasters?
You're going to have a full set. In fact, you, because I know you're a backer and you're going to back all the way through, you're going to get an extra one as well. I'm going to get, for those who back from day one, there's going to be an extra one that'll have the logo on it that will kind of tie it all together. It'll just be the logo.
It's going to be real fancy when people come over to my house. It's like, I got my Voodoo Nations. You better not get that ring on my table over here.
Yeah, you better not. And they'll be like, what book is this? And they'll be like, oh, just some Kickstarter book. I thought you read real comic books. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, sometimes I slum it.
Yeah, this guy, he's pretty cool. I don't know, it's okay. He lives in Florida, though. It's kind of weird.
Right.
I shouldn't say that out loud. I should.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm coming up to you guys' area soon. Not you're in New York near Canada, so not that far. But I'm coming to Boston in New Hampshire in November.
Oh my God, Boston! So don't depend on GPS when you get to Boston.
Right.
I went to Boston for there's actually a video game con, and one night I'm like, well, I need to find somewhere to eat. So I went on my GPS and I was like, okay, give me somewhere to eat, blah, blah, punched it in. And at a certain point, my GPS just gave me the fuck you sign and said, I don't know where you are. This entire town's a mess. So I don't know how you expect me to send you anywhere. And that was my experience in Boston.
Well, I'm from the New England area, so I know Boston pretty well. I am normally just wherever it says cold Guinness served here. So just, you know, as long as I can find that, I'm great. But what I loved is I brought my daughter there a couple of years ago. So I have a 19-year-old daughter. So it was like when she was like 15 and she was starving. And we just kept running into Dunkin' Donuts. We were looking for food for her in Boston Central. And it was just Dunkin' Donuts. I was like, hey, you want to eat a Dunkin' Donuts? She's like, no. I was like, all right, well, around the corner, there's got to be food. And turn around the corner, Dunkin' Donuts. I was like, do you want to go here? And it was literally 8 Dunkin' Donuts before we found actual food for her. It was fantastic.
So let's talk about cons, because I've actually been asking a lot of people about cons.
Okay.
And you're hands down doing the most out of anyone I know. How's the con experience been in this COVID world?
It's good. It's rough because of COVID, you know. I found that it's weird. I make more money at smaller shows than I do bigger shows. And I think the reason of that is because I used to do the opposite. Big shows were the money grabbers. You know, people would come, collectors would come and buy every one of your stuff, all your rare things on day one, and you were good to go. But I think there's still this nervousness, and I think you get more and more nervous as you get cancellations, right? The more cancellations, you're like, am I making a bad call? So even the people who are there are kind of skittish and standoffish, where smaller shows, they're just like, oh, nobody's canceled because it doesn't matter. They didn't go there to see the big celebrity. They went there to buy comics or to buy pops. You know, so I have a better time at those shows. But yeah, it's been good. It's rough. I think I'm doing my last one. I may squeeze one more in the year. I got my last one, I think, this weekend. So Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to a con, Daytona Beach Comic Con. I think that'll be my last one for the year. But even that one, it's kind of weird. They've to make it different, they separated us into two buildings. So small presses and the other one. And that's just to stop, even though they're both big enough to have one thing, mm-hmm. They split it up to just spread out people more, which I thought was really, really good.
Yeah, I think it's interesting watching what different cons are doing to try to still exist in this world and get by. And it's good. I've seen, obviously, Mike and I, and I'm sure yourself, are big fans of Greg Capullo.
Yeah.
And he also lives like fairly close to us. So he was supposed to do a bunch of cons in our area, and he quit on all of them, or I should say he exited all of them. Because he was, you know, worried about the Delta and all that stuff.
Sure.
And I completely understand that, especially, I think Chip's another one who said no more cons, a few other big names. But I have seen for some of the smaller creators, it seems necessary to keep going, to have those around.
Yeah, it's good. It's still good for the marketing. But, I mean, it's dangerous. I mean, you know about the artist for Voodoo Nations, right, Luke?
Yep, I've been talking to you on and off about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to share that?
Yeah. So the artist of Voodoo Nations for 1 and 2 is sick. He's in COVID on a ventilator in a medical induced coma right now. Things are looking better from what I understand, but I don't even know what that means, right? Like when you're on a ventilator and like thing, and you know it's tough. We actually just had another thing. Do you know Michael Watson? Have you ever talked to him?
No.
So Michael Watson, he does a book called Hot Shots. Very, very good. He was in the ER for about a week, you know, trying to get out from COVID. So in all both cases, they're unvaccinated. They both meant to get vaccinated. They just, their lives got too busy and they didn't go do it.
Yeah. And I had a scare. What was that? Like 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I'm fully vaccinated at this point.
Right.
I don't know how it is in your area, but I literally had like a drive-through vaccination center. And it was just like I had symptoms that I'd heard were common to people who were vaccinated. So, yeah, let's go to get checked out. That'd be a negative. It was fine. But I realized after that day of being isolated by myself for a single day that I would not have lasted if I got laid off.
Right.
Because I started to go insane after 12 hours. I was just like, okay, I got, like, what am I going to do now? I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough out there. It's scary out there. You know, I live in Florida, so our governor literally does not care. He's like, die. I don't care. As long as our businesses are open, you can die. It's pretty much his philosophy. So it's scary.
Yeah, it's okay. Mine just left after grabbing ass and killing old people. So it's all bad everywhere, everybody.
Yeah, he did do a lot of that. He didn't, you know, mistakes were made.
It's okay. He was Italian.
Right. Okay. Right. They all do that, I guess.
I got a big portion of my family's Italian. I mean, my ass gets grabbed all the time. I don't know what everybody's so worried about.
Right. Just lean into it.
So, Travis.
Yeah.
You said in the beginning you're like the only person in the world that reads comics anymore.
I feel like it. I do. Everyone, and then when I try to talk to people about comics, they're like, you know, manga's beating them in graphic novel sales. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not reading manga. I like manga.
I got manga right here, everybody. It's Star Wars, though, so it doesn't count.
I was going to make a comment, but I can't see it. You're blurry right now.
It is Star Wars, The High Republic, The Edge of Balance.
Okay.
I can't pronounce any of these names because that's the kind of guy I am. So anyways, we're doing the show. Mike's out of town, everybody. You've probably heard me do this in the intro. But I do want to talk a little bit about comics that we're reading. Okay. So let's not talk about the books that we read this week. I want to know, what are the books out there that everybody needs to be reading? What are the ones you're like really, really enjoying?
Ooh. So I really love Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil. I'm really sad that's going on hiatus soon. Anything Donny Cates. If you're a Marvel guy, you've got to read Cates. If you're not reading Cates, you're wrong.
Did you check out the Free Comic Book Day issue?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm super
excited
stoked
for Hulk.
Yeah, I'm excited about, and I don't like Hulk. You know, you only get me once or twice a year, once or twice every like 5 or 6 years to get me to read a Hulk run. Even like Immortal Hulk, I read it, I got it, and I was like, I'm not going to follow it to the end. Like, I like the concept, I'm just not going to follow it to the end. The last one that I followed to the end was remember when he was first talking to Mr. Blue? Mr. Green, like, I don't remember who was writing that at the time right now, but like that, I read that whole line.
So the last full run I have, and it's not even a run, it's like a mini series, was when Jason Aaron did it.
Oh, right.
I did read all of that, and that was okay.
For DC, I'm really loving Nightwing. Nightwing's great. I'm liking the Batman. And then, you know, get through all the basic stuff. So all the stuff that everybody's reading, you know, the Department of Truth, the crazy, you know, Something's Killing the Children, all the things that everybody's reading. But if you want to get some deep cuts into things that I really like, just announced that Hotel L 2 is announced, coming out in December. I'm super excited about that. If you didn't read the first one, read it. It's one of the best. People were wasting their time on haha and stuff like that when there's really, really good horror in Hotel.
Was that an AWA book?
AWA. And they also announced Crimson Cage, which is a wrestling one, which I'm super excited about. Both by Jonathan Lee. If you're not reading his stuff, he's fantastic. I really liked Automo that just finished from Vault. Really, really like that. Everything Colin Bunn's been doing this last little season has been fantastic. Like, last book you'll ever read, Baskless, all that stuff's really, really good. Like, I think we're at, like, the cream of Cullen Bunn, and, like, he's at the lowest of his popularity, which is really sad.
It's funny you bring that up, because I just finished catching up on Parasomnia.
Yeah.
Which, Andrea Muti, one of my favorite artists right now, and Lucky Devil.
Right.
So Lucky good. Devil was awesome. Is awesome. Still got to finish. Are you reading, or did you read Barbarica?
I didn't read Barbarica. I know that's a big hit, but, you know, I don't really love any of that stuff. Like, I don't like Conan that much. I don't even like Berserker that much. So I just was like, I'll let it be its thing. I got the first issue because of the hype, but I haven't even read it.
So I do love Conan. So maybe,
I love Sons of Avengers. I will tell you that. That is one of my favorite Avengers books every month.
That book is, more people need to read Savage Avengers. I've been pushing that every month.
Yeah.
That last issue was awesome.
So good. I love it. I love everything about what he's doing. Yeah.
There's that sequence that just has stuck with me because it's so funny when, like, Conan walks up to Black Widow. And it's just like, I'm going to lay with you. It's right. Just like, who the fuck are you?
Oh, it's so good. I love that. Also, Kang. Are you reading Kang? The Marvel miniseries?
No. But I have Marvel Unlimited now. So when that hits that, that's one of the ones I really want to pick up.
Yeah, so good. Even the Fantastic Four this month, the 60th anniversary, was a Kang story. So good. I really love the Kang. By the way, can we talk about something real quick? I know this is semi-off subject.
Okay.
I think that No Way Home is about Ben Reilly. Because they're throwing so many random Ben Reilly stuff at you for no effing reason, and like with no lead up, and like it's in your face, and there's an ongoing after this thing. He is in No Way Home, and I'm going to be mad.
So I think you and I had the back and forth on Twitter about this.
Yeah.
Or at least I commented on your thing.
Yeah, you commented. Right.
I said when they showed that trailer, I literally texted Mike and said, I cannot believe that Marvel is going to take a shitty retcon and make $1 billion.
Yeah.
Because that's what that was, is them retconning the Civil War, or redoing the Civil War retcon.
Right.
When you said that, I was like, you know what? At this point, Marvel has enough balls where I could see them trying the Spider-Clone saga.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to have Ben Reilly, or that's their way to add a new Spider-Man. Because if you're going to do, so if we have the other two Spider-Man in there, you can have Ben Reilly, who looks just like one of the actors. So that's not going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do Spider-Verse and you do not have Miles, you are going to have riots. Like, you have to introduce Miles. Like, you have to. Like, it is unacceptable to not.
I've been saying, and I don't know, I might be way off on this because of the trailer really kind of pushed me in a direction, but
right.
I've been saying that I felt like that this movie wouldn't be Spider-Verse.
Right.
But this movie would set up Spider-Verse. And what I mean by that is that the stinger, you would see Tobey Maguire coming out being like, I'm back, bitches.
Right.
And then the next movie would do all that. And then, of course, Miles has got to show up. I mean, how we haven't gotten live-action Miles at this point is beyond me.
Miles, I think Miles will be the stinger. I think they'll both be in there. But I have a feeling that one of them is going to be Ben Reilly and not the Spider-Man that they were supposed to be.
That's actually a good one.
I think we'll see, Andrew Garfield maybe being, the Ben Reilly. And that may make some of his verbiage right, I'm not playing Peter Parker.
So, if Kevin Feige has a sense of humor, which we know he does after watching WandaVision, that's exactly what he's going to do, because then just making Andrew Garfield Ben Reilly would be perfect.
And then keep him around.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Because I liked Andrew Garfield. I liked him a lot. I thought he was a great Spider-Man. What I didn't like is his Peter Parker. Like, literally, Amazing Spider-Man had me angry within 5 minutes of the film. The film starts, he's riding on a skateboard, and the teacher goes, hey, get off that skateboard. And instead of apologizing, he says, oh, okay, and then waits till the teacher walks away and gets back on the spider-board. You clearly don't understand Peter Parker within 5 minutes of the movie, because the writer clearly doesn't know who Peter Parker is. Spider-Parker backs from authority, submits to authority, like he's a good kid. Like that's got to be his thing. And you literally made him a bad boy. Like, from the minute. You don't understand Peter Parker.
It's also, I haven't watched those movies in forever, but I remember him being very whiny.
He was a little bit more whiny than other ones, but he was so good. His zingers were so good.
I was going to say, the quips when they were fighting were perfect. Yeah. If I could combine that with Tobey Maguire's movies.
Right, exactly.
Because I thought he got Peter Parker pretty good.
Yeah. No, I felt like he was Peter Parker. I felt like you felt Tobey Maguire was cooler. He was cooler than he would let on, and he just didn't know it, which I think is the perfect that you need. Unlike Andrew Garfield, who knows he's cool. Right?
Yeah.
And that's where right now Tom is really good, because he is at that perfect thing. But I mean, think about what Marvel's done to you. They did this whole Flash to keep this 30-year-old kid, because he's like 30 now in high school. It's fantastic. The blip kept this really shouldn't be in high school kid in high school.
Well, that was a time where you could get away with that, where we need to cast a bunch of high schoolers. So get everybody 28 and older in here, and let's get them in for an audition.
Right.
Did you get a chance to go see Shang-Chi yet? Or Shang-Chi, sorry.
I did. I loved it. I actually didn't love it when I watched it. Not because it was bad or anything. I was just like, oh, okay. I liked it. It was great. But as I keep thinking about it and compare it to origin stories in the Marvel Universe, I think it's really good. I have a theory about that as well. You want to hear my theory?
Let's go.
The rings, because they're not going to duplicate, because they're very similar to Infinity Gauntlet, unless you did a lot of explanation, no one's going to know the difference, really, between the 10 rings. I think that the quantum bands. I think they're leading them to be the quantum bands in the MCU, because that would make a heck of a lot more sense. And then you get the chosen one, like a Captain Marvel, or like the real Captain Marvel, not the one, or like a Quasar, who can actually yield them and show Shang-Chi how the power is supposed to work.
That'd be cool. I'm down with that.
I mean, it makes logical sense. I mean, that's where you would go. You're going cosmic anyways, Brings in Nova, brings in Captain Marvel.
I mean, Marvel at this point is cosmic.
Right, absolutely.
So, that'd be great. Yeah, I really liked it.
I blew your mind, didn't I? You want to think about that for a little bit.
Yeah, I do, yeah. Especially with the stinger. Anyone who hasn't watched it, there's a stinger.
Right.
There was already questions I had about the stinger because of a person who shows up. That isn't how he's supposed to be.
Right.
But yeah, that makes me think more because of that. But anyways, I really liked it. I'm not a big Kung Fu fan.
No, me neither. That's why I think I walked away going, it was what. But then when I really thought about it, I was like, it's really good,
Yeah.
And it's the best Iron Fist movie I've ever seen.
It I really enjoyed when Ra's al Ghul showed up. Yeah, but when I finished it, I was like, it is a kung fu movie. And I hope kung fu fans will enjoy it. But sure. It was kind of like The Matrix kung fu to me. Right. Where, like, I love The Matrix. I mean, who doesn't love The Matrix? And those, when you really think about it, are kind of kung fu movies too.
Right.
But you don't think of them that way. And that's how this one came across to me. And I really enjoyed as I said, I really enjoyed when Ra's al Ghul showed up.
Right.
I thought it was very awkward that the Razor Fist was the only white guy in the entire area. It just confused me. I'm like, so we got this really powerful group that's run by Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
And he hires this guy who looks just like Ben Roethlisberger
right.
with a sword for an arm. And I'm confused why he's the only white guy in the whole movie.
Well,
not that I wanted more. I'm just saying, like,
I have a theory for you.
Okay.
So if we look at Marvel continuity, we know that Claw worked for the Ten Rings at some point. So maybe it was just a mistake. He was trying to hire Claw and accidentally. He was just looking for one-armed men, and he's like, I can work for you, I guess.
I mean, I kind of like the Claw, except I have a sword for an arm.
Right, right.
Does that work?
Missing arms are very important in the MCU. It's a super important plot element.
But my favorite part of the whole movie is when they skipped dimensions and they went to the Kanto region and started catching Pokemon.
Right.
That was
right.
Fantastic. I mean, Ninetales was there. It was great. Right. But no, joking aside, I really enjoyed everything about it. And I thought it was a very heartwarming movie. My biggest complaint is I wish... that I mean, this goes for everything in life, but I wish COVID wasn't around, because I don't know if I've told you this story, but I went to go see Black Panther with my best friend, his son.
Right.
Just for the story's sake, my best friend is black. His son is also black. And we got out of there, and his kid was, how long ago was that? 4 years ago?
Yeah.
But his kid was like 7 or 8, and he looks up at me and he's like, I love Black Panther. He's the best. And it hit me. That moment of like, oh yeah, he's never seen like a guy that looks like him doing right. that stuff. And I wasn't able to have that moment with Shang-Chi. Maybe I wouldn't have anyways, but when I went to the theaters, there was like 4 people there.
So you, what you're saying is you don't know any Asian kids to bring to Shang-Chi?
I know a couple. I mean, okay. I could just drive them to Rochester and find them.
just grab and say, hey guys, you want to come in my van, watch a movie.
I just say I didn't have it. My buddy Joe had it when he went to see Captain Marvel, and he told me, he goes, when I got out of it, I was like, it was okay. I enjoyed it, but this little girl came out and she was running around and all happy because she wanted to be Captain Marvel, and that was what the movie was about to me. And that's not something I got with Shang-Chi because we live in the COVID world,
right? But, yeah. I would have liked to see that. I mean, I went to a big IMAX first night thing, so we had a decent crowd, but it wasn't full. You know, which is weird. Versus Black Widow. When I went to Black Widow, it was a full house. When I went to Black Widow, but apparently the second week nobody showed up is what I understand.
Which I'm confused because I had the same experience. We went to see Black Widow. I have a local theater that's right. owned locally, and it was pretty packed. Right. And I'm trying to remember the exact like how the world was at that moment because it changes every day. But none of us were wearing masks really. And we went in, we had a bunch of people, and we had a good time. And then I heard the movie bombed.
Right. I'm
like, okay, there's a lot of people in my theater. Fast forward to, like, what, 2 weeks ago, Shang-Chi comes out. I go in there, there's 4 people in the theater with me.
Right.
And it's doing amazing. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't understand any of that.
But it could be the whole Disney Plus thing. Who knows? So... Travis, I know you got kids to take care of, so...
I do, well, I do. I have some pho to eat, and I got to get some food for the family, but yeah. But I'm, so here. One more I'm here with you, brother.
One more time. Expired. Where can people go and help fund this?
So I don't know when this is going live, but currently you have 10 days left. So when's this going live?
So go live Monday, so you'll have 7 days.
7 days. So you only have a week left. So you're in the last week, the last home stretch to get this book. Expired is really, really cool. Like I said, I've got the secret variants. I've got the spoiler variants. If you like sci-fi, Dune, stuff like that, you're going to kind of like this book. What's cool about this book too is it's very PG. It's a PG-13 book, so you can send it to your kids. You know, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff, like a breakdown. You know, you don't have to worry about any of the colorful language in this. And I think it's a fun story that will really, you know, entice you. And I think you'll like the universe. So check it out. Expired on Kickstarter.
Yes, and everybody in the Kickstarter, you could also, you know, if you haven't taken my advice the past like 20, however many Kickstarters you've done, Travis, there is a awesome package here, $30, and you can get everything he's done. From Voodoo Nations, Broken Four Dead Bodies, Cthulhu Vades Odds, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there's add-ons for all my old work, and it's pretty cheap. So it's $25 for all four Broke Downs. It's $10 for Voodoo Nations. Sorry, my son just gave them.
All good.
So Voodoo Nations, Cthulhu Vades Odds is on there. So you can get all those things as add-ons. So, you know, if you want to try out my work and you haven't, please try it out. And I will tell you, I have some deals in the works, so picking up some of my old stuff may be a good financial decision for you. Just throwing that out there.
For all those speculators out there, everybody check out the show notes down below. I'll have all the links to Travis's website, to this Kickstarter, and so on. Make sure to check that out and help make a good book a reality. Travis, thanks so much for being on the show once again.
Thanks a lot, Chris. I love
it. We'll have to talk again soon.
All right. Bye-bye.